Today is May 13th, 2022. Today, we want to talk to you about sodium. Sodium is a white metal that does not exist in nature in its free form. In its solid form, it is so soft that you could cut it like butter with a knife. It is the sixth most common element in the Earth's crust. Even though sodium only makes up 0.2% of our body weight, it plays a key role in nerve conduction, muscle contraction, and most importantly, regulating water balance.
Today, we'll be talking about low sodium, known as hyponatremia. We'll focus on how to treat hyponatremia and we'll mention some common causes and symptoms. We hope you can learn something from us today.
This is Rio Bravo Q Week, your weekly dose of knowledge brought to you by the Rio Bravo Family Medicine Residency Program from Bakersfield, California. Our program is affiliated with UCLA and it's sponsored by Clinica Sierra Vista. Let us be your healthcare home. This podcast was created for educational purposes only. Please visit your primary care physician for additional medical advice.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of our podcast, Rio Bravo Q Week. And I have a new fourth year medical student here. She just went to her fourth year. So, and I have a wonderful attending here. He's been in the podcast several times, so I'm so glad that he's here with us today. So can you guys introduce yourselves and tell us about the topic today?
All right. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me here today. My name is Catherine Nguyen. As Dr. Arias just said, I'm an MS4 from Ross, and I'm here with Dr. Saito.
Oh, yeah, that would be me. Oh, we're here to talk about hyponatremia. So they sought out the salt lord here to help make this a little bit saltier and correct the hyponatremia.
Yeah. Okay, so Kat, she was in our rotation recently, so I'm so glad that she came back to talk about this topic. She's doing right now anesthesiology. So we're going to talk about hyponatremia, and, you know, low sodium is so common. You know, we see it in the clinic, we see it in the hospital, and today we're going to focus on the treatment. We're going to talk about some causes and presentation, but mostly on the treatment. And so let's start with the definition.
All right, perfect. So hyponatremia, that's pretty much when the patient's serum sodium concentration is about below 135 milliequivalents per liter.
Yeah, that's a pretty straightforward definition. So less than 135 is never normal. You know, we see it a lot even in clinic, and sometimes we're like, the patient is asymptomatic or whatever. But we should strive to have a sodium concentration above 135 always. And that was a lesson that we learned from our nephrologist in clinic one day. So let's talk about the causes then. What causes hyponatremia?
Yeah, so actually there's a lot of different causes for hyponatremia. And a couple of them can be advanced renal impairment. And this is because of the impairment in free water excretion, which leads to hypoosmolality of serum. Diuretics can also cause it, specifically thiazides, more commonly seen the first 1 or 2 weeks where they started. SIADH is another cause, heart failure, cirrhosis, GI fluid loss.
Heart failure and cirrhosis. You can stop calling me out. Okay, I'll go ahead and start taking my medications and stop drinking quite so much.
Good, because we just told you hyponatremia is never a good thing.
Now I'm just going to add some salt tabs to my beer. It'll be fine.
But yes, as I was saying, GI fluid loss is another one. You know, diarrhea, vomiting, which too much beer can cause vomiting.
All right, I heard you the first time.
All right, and then CNS disturbances, malignancies, which again, ADH, right? And drugs, SSRIs, carbamazepine, cyclophosphamide, and don't forget the thiazide I talked about.
Oh, yeah. So the thiazides, you know, our friends, Dr. Saito, hydrochlorothiazide and chlorothalidone. So they can cause a lot of hyponatremia.
Yep, definitely. That's usually one of the first things that we're looking at when we get these. mild hyponatremia is that we're the ones that are at fault here. We caused something with one of our medications that we were trying to fix something else. I mean, heck, the last time I tried to give someone an SSRI so they'd last a little bit longer, they went a little bit low on their sodium, so we had to figure out something else.
Yeah, and if we couple that, you know, thiazides, and we tell the patients you have to eat a low-sodium diet, so it's even worse, right? But we have to make sure that we correct this in our patients in clinic. And also, I wanted to take a minute to talk about pyromania. Pyromania is like an old term that defines hyponatremia in people who are drinkers of beer.
Oh, Dr. Sato, we're really here to get you today.
I know. But hey, I'm on duty this week, so I've been sober since Sunday night.
I'm so proud of you.
Well, but pyromania is a state when a patient is drinking large amounts of alcohol, mainly beer. And beer is a low-sodium drink. It's also a low-solute. So the patients keep drinking this fluid, you know, and they are, on top of that, they're eating less food and less other kind of drinks. And on top of that, they might be vomiting, like Kat mentioned. So all that combined is the perfect recipe for hyponatremia. So let's remember that pyromania in our community, very prevalent, very, very common. So let's talk about how we see a patient with hyponatremia, like what kind of symptoms they have. I think the most common symptom is a patient with no symptoms at all. And we can see that in clinic frequently. So the first presentation is asymptomatic. But when they have symptoms, Kat, can you tell us how we see a patient with hyponatremia?
Absolutely. So yes, asymptomatic can be good, but can be tricky because we don't even know that, you know, something's wrong with their sodium levels. So we don't even start to correct it. But when they do start getting a little too low, such as between levels of 125 to 130, that's when you start seeing patients become nauseous and they start having malaise, right? So these are our more earlier findings. Now, when the sodium level drops a little lower, between 115 to 120, you'll start seeing the headaches, lethargy, muscle cramps, confusion, and even seizures, comas, and respiratory arrest. Now, I mentioned, you know, some confusion and altered mental status. That could possibly be because of acute hyponatremic encephalopathy, right? Which can be reversible, but unfortunately, permanent neural damage and death can actually occur.
Yeah, so that's very important to remember that hyponatremia can cause permanent damage to the nerves. Yeah. So, and we diagnose a patient with hyponatremia, okay? We determine that the sodium is below 135, and then we have to start the treatment. You know, in clinic, it's common to see a patient with sodium, let's say 133, 131, you know, and sometimes that treatment requires action. We just have to make sure that we correct that sodium. We don't leave the patient on hyponatremia forever, because we know they can be detrimental for their health, especially their mental health. So hyponatremia, as I mentioned before, is never normal. But let's talk about how to treat hyponatremia then, based on the severity of the case.
Right. So treatment, honestly, it just depends on what category are they in, right? Mild, moderate, or severe. So we'll start with mild hyponatremia. So like Dr. Arias has said, even in outpatients, sometimes patients can be seen with levels of 131 to 133. Well, that's perfectly fit in the mild hyponatremia category, right? Because here it's concentrations of 130 to 134. And fortunately, treatment isn't too aggressive when they're mild, right? More so, it's ideal for us to find the underlying issue here, right? So, for example, if they're taking a thiazide, you would identify and discontinue that drug so that you can, you know, prevent more hyponatremia from happening. So it's just really critical in this stage of mild hyponatremia to reverse the cause and limit further intake of water. So you would restrict fluids or discontinue hypotonic IV infusions. Now, if they're in a concentration from 120 to 129, we consider that moderate hyponatremia. Here it's a little special because they could still be asymptomatic and be moderate, or they can be symptomatic and be moderate. When they're asymptomatic, We're a little less aggressive. We give them 50 milliliters bolus of 3% saline, and then we just keep an eye on the serum sodium from falling any further. If they're symptomatic, then of course you have to be slightly more aggressive. So here we double it. We do 100 milliliters bolus of 3% saline. And then if symptoms continue, then you are allowed to give them two additional 100 milliliter doses. And each bolus should be infused over a span of 10 minutes.
So you're saying that, you know, when we have these consults in the ER, we have a patient with hyponatremia, let's say 120 to 129. So we can safely give the patient 50 milliliter bolus of 3% saline. I think that's a very important teaching point to all the residents and the medical students. Because sometimes we are always scared of correcting too fast, you know. But 50 milliliters of 3% saline is okay to give in a patient with no symptoms and moderate hyponatremia. So if the patient is symptomatic, I think at this point, honestly, I think I will be calling ICU. You know, but it says here that we can give 100 milliliter bottles of 3% saline while we wait for ICU, right? Will you agree, Dr. Saito?
Yeah, it sounds like we at least have starting points for all these things. As with everything, you might want to be double checking with your hospital whatever their standard protocols are. Make sure that you have the appropriate resources, especially if things go sideways. But there's definitely things that we in primary care or the general IM team or family medicine team on the regular wards can do to make early interventions, trying to get this stuff corrected.
Yeah. So let's talk about severe hyponatremia now. Those are the patients who have sodium below 120.
Right. And this is where it gets scary. But scary doesn't mean panic and do whatever you think is right and just, you know, drown them in fluids. Because that's actually, remember, giving them just fluid causes hyponatremia. So we got to be smart here. If their levels are under 120, actually what you want to do is give them 3% saline IV, beginning at a rate of 15 to 30 milliliters per hour via peripheral vein. And that's really important because there's something called osmotic demyelination syndrome, which Dr. Saito, want to remind us what that is?
All right, so we're using a bunch of fancy words here, osmotic demyelination syndrome. When I was medical student or whenever, way back when, didn't we used to call this central pontine myelinolysis?
Yeah.
Well, okay, maybe I'm just old. Maybe we got newer terms.
Your age is showing, sir.
Yeah, well, that's good. Old people trust old doctors. It makes them feel like we've been doing things for a while as opposed to we just have aged old knowledge here. But what we're looking at is overcorrection, especially rapid overcorrection, can cause some serious brain damage here. Your brain adapts to being functioning at an abnormal hyponatremia, especially if it's chronic. And if we get too aggressive, we can damage that brain, and particularly the myelin around your nerves. That's what helps your nerves communicate with each other and coordinates those messages in your nervous system. If those break apart, you can't get coordinated thoughts, processes, etc. in your brain, and that can leave you permanently disabled. So we have to be very, very careful when we're doing our corrections.
Yeah, and according to some readings that we did, you know, a large cohort study showed that correction less than 5 milliequivalents per liter per day was not associated with neurologic complications. So, and this condition is more common when the patients are on severe hyponatremia, less than 120. And some symptoms, they not be apparent right away. And they can show 2 to 6 days after the correction of sodium. And the symptoms are mainly dysarthria or dysphagia and other neurologic symptoms, even behavioral disturbances, seizures, lethargy, confusion, you know, altered mental status in general, and even coma.
Right. Yeah. So basically, lesson here is slow and steady wins the race, guys.
So can you give us alternative option for correction? Because I know that you mentioned that in IV, 3% saline, rate 15 to 30 milliliter per hour in IV. But what is an alternative option?
Yes, so there is an alternative option. And here we are allowed to give 1 milliliter per kilograms, right? So maximum of 100 milliliters. Boluses of 3% saline IV every 6 hours, and then you kind of just modify dose as needed. And some patients may even also require desmopressin to prevent the overly rapid correction.
Yeah. And I think they should be done in the ICU.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah, right? Because it's severe.
These patients require close monitoring. So that means actually go look at your patients. Yeah. Don't just like look at some vital signs and stuff in a computer. You have to go see your patients and make sure they're doing okay.
Yes, I agree. So, yeah, this correction needs a lot of monitoring when we are doing it in the hospital. So, how do we do the monitoring, Kat?
Well, first and foremost, right, it's quite simple. If you see patients that came in that they had symptoms, well, post-treatment, are we still seeing symptoms or not? Right. So hopefully at this point, symptoms are starting to go away. So you'll start remeasuring the sodium concentration hourly to determine, hey, do we need to, you know, give maybe a little more fluids or more saline, so on and so forth. Sorry, not the fluids, the saline. Mm-hmm. And then how often you monitor? Well, we can slowly or decrease how often you do it. Once you've noticed the serum sodium levels are raised about 4 to 6 milliequivalents per liter. Once that's achieved, then you can monitor patients' serum sodium every 12 hours. And then you just are at a happier place once you hit about 130 or higher, right? So basically, overall, make sure you restrict the fluid, right, to about 50 or 60% of their daily fluid requirements while you're monitoring them. So in general, you know, you can allow them to have less than 800 milliliters per day to be safe.
Good. And it's important to remember the rate of correction. You know, we correct sodium about 6 to 12 milliequivalent per liter in the first 24 hours. No more than that, because more than that, you know, you take the risk of correcting too fast, and less than 18 milliequivalents per liter or less in 48 hours. So those first 48 hours, remember, less than 18. So yeah, well, thank you guys for talking about this topic today. Hyponatremia is always important to remember, because correction is easy, but also requires some precautions, right?
Well, thanks for having us. And as with everything that I say, take it with a grain of salt.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Now we conclude our episode number 93, hyponatremia treatment. Remember to correct sodium appropriately, especially in case of severe hyponatremia. Use hypertonic saline in patients with acute hyponatremia with sodium below 129, especially if they are symptomatic. Sodium should be corrected at a rate of 6 to 12 milliequivalents per liter in 24 hours or less than 18 milliequivalents per liter in 48 hours. If done at a higher rate, there is a risk of causing osmotic demyelinating syndrome. Even without trying, every night you go to bed being a little wiser. This week, we thank Hector Ariaza, Catherine Wynn, Steven Saito, Alyssa Dermagerdichin, and Gina Cha. Audio by Saraj Amruthia. Thank you for listening to Rio Bravo Q Week. If you have any feedback, please contact us by email at riobravoqweek@clinicasierravista.org or visit our website at riobravofmrp.org/qweek. See you next week.